Let me read this section here, and I'll come back to it. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? For if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's strong language. But some of the church members need to hear this passage of Scripture today. It's an important passage of Scripture. Let me say this. The question is sometimes asked, and it's a very pertinent question, why do the righteous suffer? This is the thing that I got into during this period, which I've been confined to my home, and all I've been able to do is just lie flat on my back most of the time, and the rest of the time I've been permitted to study. I want to go into this. I've done this in depth, and I would love to pass this on to you because I'm speaking out of an experience. God's children suffer. Let's put that down as an axiom of Scripture. The Bible doesn't argue that. The Bible just says that's true. Why do the righteous suffer? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You remember in the book of Job, we're told that man's born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And the Lord Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And even Paul says, if any man will live a life today in Christ Jesus, he's going to suffer persecution. Why do God's people suffer? Now, there's no pat answer for that. No little one verse of Scripture answers that at all. I have gone through the Scripture, and I have listed 7 reasons why God's children suffer. I'm going to mention those, and I hope I'm able to cover all these today because I think they're very important. First of all, let me say that we, as God's children and as sons, mature sons, we suffer, many of us, for our own stupidity and our own sins. Let me read one verse of Scripture, 1 Peter 2:20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, and that word's harmatano, that means a sin where you miss the mark. You just don't quite make it. Ye shall take it patiently. He says there's nothing to that. That's no value. Because a lot of times, you and I suffer because we played the fool. How many of you listening to me today that years ago, you invested some of your savings in a Wildcat oil well down in Texas? I was pastor down there for many years. I can tell you about a whole lot of folk down there that have a dry well today. Actually, I know one man that he and his family are practically in want. He suffered. But he suffered because he actually played the fool. I know another man right here in Los Angeles. He came into me and he says, you know, McGee, I have certainly played the fool. Well, I said, what'd you do? Well, he said, my wife and I, we haven't been getting along too well recently, and in the office, she's not my secretary, is a very attractive woman. She was very sympathetic with me, and she had to work one evening, and I had to work, and I'd call my wife, but I had to work, and all of a sudden it occurred to me it'd be nice if we went out for dinner. I said, frankly, we didn't do anything other than just go out to dinner. And he says, we sat, and he said, very frankly, it was a very friendly sort of a dinner. And he said, the wrong person was in that restaurant and saw us and called my wife. And it never went any farther. It might have. But he said this to me, I played the fool. You know, a lot of saints suffer because of their stupidity. And then a second reason we suffer is for taking a stand for the truth and righteousness. And I'll guarantee you, if you take a stand for the truth and righteousness, you're going to suffer. And how many men and women could testify to that today? And that's in 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. So that's another reason some of the saints are suffering today. They've taken a stand. They did it deliberately. They're standing for God. Now you can play the fool in that connection. I know a man that came to me and told me that where he worked, everybody was his enemy, and it's because he stood up for God. Well, one of the men who was an official in that concern, I asked him about it because he was a Christian, and he told me what he did, how this man tried to lecture everybody, even during work hours. He'd go and begin talking to somebody who's busy, and that wasn't the place to witness. And he said that he'd made himself an absolute nuisance. Now, he wasn't really suffering because he took a stand for truth and righteousness. He was just stupid, that's all. I mean that you take a stand today for that which is right without making a fool of yourself. You don't have to do that. Take a stand for righteousness and you'll suffer for it. Now, there's a third reason. You can suffer for sin in your life. Paul says, if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. Now, if you and I won't deal with sin in our life, I'll tell you this, if you are his child, he'll deal with it. He'll judge you. Now, the fourth reason you can suffer for the past sins of your life. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of flesh reap corruption. Now, he's talking to believers. Best illustration I have of that is one time that we had Mel Trotter. He was a converted drunkard years ago in Nashville, Tennessee. And after the service, we went to a place called Candyland. Rest of us got big sodas, you know, malts. And he got a little glass of soda water. And they began to kid him about it. And he made this statement, when the Lord gave me a new heart, he didn't give me a new stomach. He was suffering because of that. And so that's another reason. And then there's a fifth reason, and that's a very lofty, high reason. And you find that in the book of Job. Job suffered because he was demonstrating to Satan and the demon world and to the angels of heaven that he was not a time server, that every man does not have his price, and that he loved God for himself alone. And I hope I never am put in that place. Then there is a sixth reason. We mentioned that before. It was in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Some demonstrated their faith, and there was great victories won. Some were delivered from the sword, but he also says some were slain with the sword. I think of the French Huguenots. They went into battle, and they all knew they'd be slain, but they went into battle singing, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" You see, they suffered for their faith. Now I come to the seventh and the last one. That's what we have here. It's for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now that's different. Word chasten, as we've said, is child training. It means discipline. That's not punishment. You see, a judge punishes. A father chastens, and he does it in love. Punishment is to uphold the law. God uses chastening to demonstrate how much he loves you. And he makes it very clear you're an illegitimate child if you're not chastened to the Lord. Great many people say, oh, why did God let this happen to me? I must not be a Christian. My friend, the best proof you are a child of God is the fact that you suffer. And it's severe and it hurts. And that's what he goes on to say here. In verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. We'll talk about that later. It's sort of like the boy that his father said to him before he whipped him. He said, son, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And the boy says, yes, Dad, but not in the same place. God chastens his children. I don't think he gets any particular joy out of it, but it's because you and I need that. Now, I want to give this personal testimony, because this is such an important section that we're in. And then I'm through for today. You will forgive me for being personal. When I had cancer several years ago, my first question to the Lord was why. It didn't take me long to discover why. It was my Heavenly Father punishing me. That was punishment. I know that now. And I got things squared away with the Lord. I was a hard-headed child of God, you know. And so when I began this radio ministry and everything has gone so wonderful, and I came back off this trip feeling so good, and then I'm knocked down with not only the diverticulosis but hepatitis, and the doctor says, you stay there on your back. Don't you leave the place. And I stayed there for 3 weeks. I want to say to you, learn something. I'd like to pass this on to you. He wasn't judging me this time, because I keep my account short with God. I get them straightened out about every day. I fail him, and I'm still as hard-headed, I guess, I ever was. But I go to him, and I confess it. I believe I'm in the will of God. I went to him and cried this time, and I said, Lord, why in the world do you let this happen to me? I want to go on with my program. And he put me flat on my back. He says, you're my son. I'm your father. And there's a lot of things you don't know, and a lot of lessons you haven't learned. You may have the notion that your ministry today is essential, and that I can't get along without you. After all, how'd I get along without you before you got here? And you think that these conferences that you had to cancel and I had to cancel, friends, over a dozen conferences. Oh, I cried out to God because I wanted to make them all. Some of them up in the Northwest, and I love those people up there, and I wanted to go up there. And the Lord said, no, you're not going. You're going to lie here. You're going to learn something. You're going to find out something, that I'm your father, and that you've got to learn to endure for me. You do not know how to rest. You do not know how to wait on me. And you know, I've been lying flat on my back most of the time looking up. And it took me a long time. I crawled up in bed and I said, all right, Father, you want me to lie here, I'll lie here. And I want to learn the lesson that you have for me. Now, when I was a boy, I got in trouble, and several other boys, and I saw one morning my dad coming across the schoolyard, and when he got to the school, you know that there were several hundred children there. You know who he was after? He was after his son. And he took his son and disciplined him. He didn't discipline those 100 other children. They weren't his children. If they had been, they'd been illegitimate. But he disciplined the boy that's his boy and the boy that he loved. My heavenly father, because my earthly father died when I was 14, and it took me a long time to get another father, and that father's my heavenly father now, and he does the same thing. He disciplines. And now, this is important for God's children to know, and it's to help us endure.